Thank you very much, Kalimera. Before thanking the Onassis Foundation, after thanking the Onassis Foundation, I want to set you on a journey and initiate with you a dialogue on the issues we are discussing in this panel. It's a journey on the hermeneutical process of interpretation, lyrical poetry. It's on transmission, it's of mouvance of a text, it's of shifting meanings in different diachronic occasions. And my test case will be Sappho, and especially the new Sappho papyrus. So in 2002, the Cologne collection purchased this wonderful papyrus here, and this papyrus gives certain endings. It consists of three parts, and it partly overlaps with another papyrus we have already. And after a certain gap in a different handwriting, we have another poem that is certainly not by Sappho of the 3rd century, where this papyrus stems from. So we have these three parts, part A, then we have this poem that we already know from this other papyrus of Titonus, and then we have this Orpheus papyrus. And this is the other papyrus we know already since 1922 of Oxyrhynchus. This papyrus stems from the 2nd century AD, while this new papyrus is so spectacular because it stems from the 3rd century BC. And this papyrus has a different beginning, another poem that's important. Then it has our part Titonos, and very important, it has four more lines. These are very important for our interpretation further on. And then we have a different ending. Of course, we don't have this new poem of the 3rd century.
So Tony, what shall we Tony, do? Tony, may I interrupt you? Could you look at the prompt rather than back
Sorry?
There?
So yeah,
you,
of course.
You talk into the microphone.
Yeah, of course. So we have a comparison. Here we have again this Cologne papyrus that you all understand it, of the 3rd century BC, very important, very early. It's one of the earliest extant literary papyrus. Here we have a question of reperformance of different occasions, as we will see, maybe in the symposium, maybe at the Pan Athenaea, that also links the whole thing with our panel. And most important, if we collect fragments and poems, we have to think how we put them on. And here we have, obviously, a thematic anthology. We have certain key themes that connect these poems, and that is love, death, music, afterlife, metapoetic reflection. And on the other side, we have the much younger Oxyrhynchus papyrus. There we have a different beginning, where we have the longer poem, a different ending. And this poem obviously stems from a scholarly edition, and that is not done by key motifs, not as an anthology, but by meter. And in these parts of meter, the poems are put up in an alphabetical order. To understand then further what this whole means, I think we have to differentiate between a primary and secondary reception. So we have to see that Sappho produced these poems for a female sapphic circle in the 6th century BC in Lesbos. We have a female context in an educational context. These young girls are educated for marriage, and their main message is the education in beauty. So these poems have to function in the sapphic circle, and they work on certain images, on cultural images, also on chorality, as we will see. And then we have the secondary occasion, that is already a matter of an early reception. The text shifts from Lesbos to Athens, to festivals, to the Panathenaia, maybe already in the tyrannical time, then in the democratic time, and then also maybe to symposia as a new occasion. We have also new contexts, a more male context, and then in this new collection, we even have Orpheus, obviously concern about afterlife that is maybe typical for the third century of the composition of this papyrus. So again, we have a longer and shorter version of the central poem on old age or Tithonus. We have a different order. We have newly composed and non-sapphic parts to summarize. And now we go quickly through these poems. In A1, the lyrical I, or Sappho, projects herself as being alive among the dead people in the underworld and still doing musique. And then in this form of anthology, we perfectly see how one poem evolves to the next, how one poem continues and is linked to the previous. That's wonderful, by a mirroring images of words, of Ayoda, of Paktin, Kala Aedo, and again Moisan Kala, and again the instrument. So you see wonderfully how these poems interact, and one poem grows out of the next in such an anthology. And then we have this wonderful poem on old age that now is complemented by this spectacular finding, because in the old papyrus we had only the right endings. And so now we have almost a whole text, a whole poem. So what is going on in that? I quickly sing that to you. You for the fragrant blossomed muses, lovely gifts, be zealous girls and the clear melodious lyre. But my once tender body, old age now has ceased. My hairs turned white instead of dark. My heart's grown heavy. My knees will not support me that once on a time were fleet for the dance as fawns. This state I often bemoan, but what's to do? Not to grow old, being human, there is no way. Tithonus once, the tale was, rose-armed dawn, love-smitten, carried off to the world's end, handsome and young then, yet in time gray age overtook him, husband of immortal wife. So we quickly see here a structure, an appeal to the girls to dance according to her music, then reflection on age, the contrasts of the speaker, her age in contrast to the young girls dancing, her symptoms from the hair down to the knees and to the feet, the reaction, a sigh, what shall I do, a question, a gnome, and then a myth as an example, Tithonus, this tragic figure who grew older and older until he's put up in a cage because Eos doesn't want to see him anymore. So what's the sense? That's the hermeneutical problem. Is it really a lament about old age, as all had said, a personal lyric outcry? Or is it more, at least in the third century, in the symposium, a reflection on old age, on afterlife, in a metapoetic thought on musique, about the fame of a singer, and also connected to afterlife thoughts of Orpheus. And maybe isn't it even in the primary reception, in the primary context, also a reflection of old age, about old age, on the basis of choral culture. That's my basic thesis, and on Eros and rejuvenation, what we were talking about, also depending and building on solar and cosmic images, on Eos and Helios. And the main point to understand this is Sappho, or the lyrical eye that associates not only with Tritonus, as formerly once was thought, but also with Eos, with a female figure. Also Sappho, of course, is female. So we have a shifting association of meanings. And to understand better, images help. And we see that this female figure of Eos is connected to solar, to Helios, and it's also connected very much to Eros. And so we see that this very impressive figure catches, try to seize her erotic victim, Tritonus, and there's also this deferral of Eros as a discourse of absence. She never really can catch this wonderful figure. And on another figure, a picture, we see how Eos has already seized this male Tritonus, still very young and beautiful, and he, of course, is a singer, like our Sappho. And on another ways, we see how Eos, of course, we all know Dawn, the figure of Dawn, and rising as Aurora early in the morning, she is connected to the solar wagon, so she's connected to Helios. And on her daily way, she accompanies Helios in her wagon. She gets older and older until sun sets, and during the night, she becomes younger again. So we have this cyclicity of an image of getting old and getting young in one day. And with this, we understand also this image of the Odyssey in the 12th book, where we also have this image of Choroi, the Choroi of Eos. Eos is linked to Choroi of young maidens, as Sappho is linked with these maidens. So by watching these maidens, that's the basic idea, Sappho as Eos also gets the power to rejuvenate, to get younger again, to live on. That's very important. And now we come to the last four lines that we were talking about. Do they belong to our context? But I love delicacy. This and love has obtained for me the brightness and the beauty of the sun. Yes, I would say in the primary context, these lines have to stand. They have a certain function there. Sappho has to come back to the circle. She has to make her message. And the message is about kalos, it's about beauty, and it's about sun, and it's about rejuvenation. So what have we learned? What other is the relevance of the new Sappho in the context of the leading questions and panels at our Athens Dialogues? First, we have a kind of a new way of interpreting lyric poetry as an evolutionary model of textures in a diachronic development that takes in a continuous process of reperformance. We have a primary context and a secondary and third context. Even with the diachronic emphasis on reception, it is of course even more vital to regain also glimpses of the original primary meaning and context of the poem. Then for identity and difference and gender issues, Sappho has to be understood kind of as the other, or better, as the closest foreign. Misunderstandings result from concepts of female homosexuality and from the modern view of lyrical poetry, of a romantic reprojection of subjective and individual expressions of inner personal feelings. That's why it was supposed a lyric outcry about old age. Compared to that, we should look at a more objective and participatory perspective. It's not the vexed outcry of the individual lamenting about old age, but rather an aesthetic education and ideas of rejuvenation of hopes in the cycle to live on. For stories and history, the central myth is not just a narration, but it's an exemplary reflection, a piece of cultural memory that confers social memory and cohesion, acted out in the imagery of choral dance. It's completely different to subjective and feminist approaches that anachronistically reproject the modern view of the female individual to a traditional society. And to logos and art, to our panel, we have here again a reflection of shifting meanings in different social gendered contexts of performance and reperformance. Thank you very much.